Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March 9th, 2026. Today is Monday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Here ends the reading. Whatever teaching Paul offers to any congregation, he offers it with the understanding that the end of time, and hence the end of the world as he knew it, was near. There was a sense among early Christians that the resurrected Jesus would return quickly within their lifetimes. As the decades passed in the early years of the church, this delay in Christ's return caused plenty of trepidation and theological consternation. What happens when Christians die and Jesus isn't returned yet? Paul deals with that specific question in another of his letters, the first letter to the Thessalonians, and he also deals with it at the end of this present epistle, the first letter to the Corinthians. Fast forward two millennia, and we're still waiting. At nearly every celebration of the Eucharist in the Episcopal Church, the congregation recites some version of what the liturgy refers to as the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. 2,000 years on, the Church continues to assert that we are a community in waiting. And yet, I understand that when we repeat those words, Christ will come again, many of us don't feel the same sort of urgency that those first century Christians undoubtedly felt. As for me, I find this weekly affirmation to be a poignant reminder that time, all time, is in God's hands, and as such, we truly never know when God will put a period on it, and it will cease. I remember early on, as an Episcopalian, our congregation had a priest who many folks regarded as cold, aloof, and too cerebral. A few of them had wondered out loud to me if he really believed much of anything in the creeds or the Bible. I felt this assessment was unfair, even though I could understand how my fellow parishioners had arrived at their opinions. One evening, we were at a Bible study, and somehow the subject of Christ's return entered the conversation. A parishioner who had doubted the rector's Christian bona fides asked him the following question with an accusatory edge in his voice. "Tell me, Father, do you really believe Jesus is going to return? Or is that something you say simply by rote?" I'll never forget the priest's answer. He said, "I believe Jesus will return to fulfill the scriptures in God's good time. And even when I have difficulty believing that, I believe the church will believe for me." I looked at the parishioner and realized that the priest's answer wasn't exactly carrying the day, but then the priest continued. "But here's one other thing. I know with the fullness of my being, and with all my heart, and without a doubt, that on the day when I draw my last breath and close my eyes in death, I won't be alone, because I have the assurance of faith that Jesus will be waiting for me on the other side when I wake up to eternal life. This assurance keeps me in the faith, and it gives me the strength to live in hope." There wasn't a dry eye in the room. We don't know the day or hour, We don't know when, as the Nicene Creed says, Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. But we don't need to know everything in order to live in hope of a better world to come. And because we can live in hope, we can face the future with patience and assurance. Because even if it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, one thing we know, the present form of this world is passing away. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.